This sermon was preached at Crossway Church in Battleground, Washington. We hope you enjoy.
How are you called in for dinner? I grew up on a farm, and you know, we could be almost 12 acres, and so 12 acres, and so it could be a long way from one end to the other. This was before the day and era of cell phones, where my folks could just text me, you know, like they do maybe now. And so usually what happened is my mom would have to walk all the way down to the edge of the yard, especially if we were farther away, and yell at us as loud as she could to tell us it was time to come in if we were there too late. Later, my folks got smart, and they actually got a little wireless intercom system because we moved to a place that had multiple barns, and my mom could just hit the call button, and the little beep would happen, and they could tell if they needed help or not. The reason why I ask that is we all kind of have this way of notifying it. Maybe you even have a dinner bell like that. My in-laws got one of those, I think, for a Christmas gift. That's their new way to kind of let people know it's time to come in. But we usually have some kind of method to let us know that it's time to come in or it's time to be prepared. And we have those kind of things, different signals. There's a horn that warns you. There's all these different sounds that kind of we can know. Even our phone, we know that somebody's trying to page us by our ring. The reason why I start off my sermon this way with it is because today we're going to look at the Feast of the Trumpets. We are going through all the feasts, and we come to the Feast of the Trumpets. Now, we're going to look at two different passages today, Leviticus 23:23-25, which is a short passage. There's only a few verses. So we're going to also look at, and sorry, that should be Numbers 29:1-6, not 19. We're going to look at those two passages today. But the trumpet played that kind of role in the community of Israel. It was one of those things that the sound was used often to warn people, to call them to assembly, and to various things throughout their kind of life, communal life. And so if you look at it, actually, in Numbers 10, God tells them to build silver trumpets that as they're wandering through the desert that they would use to call them to come to worship or to come and assemble. But the majority of the trumpets that we're talking about are a shofar. Now, this is a shofar that Ralph and Charlotte actually got when they were in Israel. And it's made out of a goat horn or a sheep horn. And the tip has been cut off and it's been kind of beveled so that you can make a blowing sound from it. I'll do that later. I won't do that now. This is what they're thinking about. But like I said, it played multiple roles. It was the call for army, and we see that in some of the passage. It was the announcement that a king had been coronated and had been anointed as king. It was used to call worshipers in to worship, and it was even once a month the thing that the priests used to let the people know that the new month had actually arrived. If you remember, it was a lunar calendar, and so the new month started when they saw the crescent of the moon. And so when the priests were made aware of that, that somebody saw it, then they would blow the trumpet to let everybody know that the first of the month was officially started. So this trumpet here plays a pretty vital role in the life of the people of Israel. And so as we look at it, just have that in mind, that this is a pretty important thing. So let's turn to the word of the Lord. Let's go to Leviticus 23, verse 23-25, and also Numbers 29:1-16. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present a food offering to the Lord." As I said, pretty short. So let's scooch ahead into Numbers 29:1-6. That kind of lays out what that food offering to the Lord is. It says this: "On the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. It is a day for you to sound the trumpets as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Offer a burnt offering of one young bull, one ram, and seven males a year old, all without defect. With the bull, offer a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of the finest flour mixed with olive oil. With the ram, 2/10, and with each of the seven lambs, 1/10. Include one male goat as a sin offering to make atonement for you. These are in addition to the monthly and daily burnt offerings with their grain offerings and drink offerings as specified. They are food offerings presented to the Lord as a pleasing aroma." Now, as I said, we are looking at the Feast of Trumpets. And as you can see, it seems like a pretty simple requirement. I mean, it says to blow the trumpets and then go through a bunch of different sacrifices that need to be made. But it really is a much more important feast than that. And as we look at the role that the trumpets play, we'll see that it is a feast that has a lot to say to us here today. As we've gone through, we'll see that this was a special Sabbath. In other words, that it was a simple day where there was to be no work, and the people were to gather and to come and to worship the Lord in the temple. It was a feast that it was a special day where they were supposed to celebrate this. Now, this festival happened in the fall. It's in the seventh month, and it's the first day of the month when the crescent moon appeared. Now, because of that, many people actually traditionally celebrated this 2 days in a row. They were a little nervous that they might miss the first day because the crescent moon might be covered by the clouds and they may not be able to see it. And so some who were really religious and who wanted to make sure that they celebrated this feast on the right day would actually do it for 2 days. And so if you go to Israel right now, and if they celebrate it, or in most synagogues, they will have a 2-day Feast of the Trumpets, which they call Rosh Hashanah, because it's blended in with the civil new year after the falling of the temple, and they'll usually celebrate it for 2 days. Now, this is, as I said, it's important role that these shofar trumpets played. They are an important role in the life of the church. There's many different things that they went through. As I said, it was a unique sound that called people to worship. It was something that they used to actually call people to battle. All of these things kind of play a role in the celebrations and even the traditions that started to flow out of the Feast of Trumpets. It was the coronation of the king, and it was a call to worship. And so when the people heard all of these things at the start of the day and in the Feast of Trumpets, it would have reminded them of all of these different things. We often forget how well the people of the Old Testament knew their story, that it was recounted over and over again. And so when the people heard the shofar, all of these images, these biblical images, would have come into their mind. Now, I'm going to do my best to try and blow it so you can understand, you can hear it. We'll see. I warned Mark, be worried. Be on the lookout. I played the trombone, not the trumpet, so we'll see. There you go. So, I got to tell you, I'm used to a mouthpiece this big, not that big, okay? But we got it. But they heard this over and over again. As a matter of fact, that noise they used even in previous months to try and remind them of some of the truths that were the previous month that we're going to learn. And so this noise had a lot of significance to them, because if you look at the Bible, the idea of the trumpets and the narrative of the trumpets played an important role in Israel's history. And so when the Lord says, blow the trumpet, it's not just to make a sound, but rather it is to remind them of all those points of history and remind them that God is still at work in that same way. And so that is the sound that they were called to do, the blowing of the trumpets. Now, because this trumpet theme is throughout Scripture, there are certain themes that are developed in this festival, in this feast. The first is that it is a day to remember the holiness of God and the obedience to His commandments. Now, why do we say that? Well, we see here that there was actually an extra number of communal sin offerings. These offerings that are here are in addition to the first of the month, are in addition to the offerings that were made on a daily basis. They were to sacrifice a huge number of animals as a community. Now, this isn't individually, this is as a community. And all of these things were burnt offerings and sin offerings to remind them that they were broken and they needed an atonement for it. There needed to be a sacrifice made on their behalf to come into the presence of the Holy God. Not only that, that sound of the trumpet reminded the people of the time that they were at Mount Sinai when God gave the Ten Commandments. I don't know if you remember it. For some of you, you weren't here when we preached through this, but when we preached through Exodus a couple of years ago, in Exodus 19, it said that the image of a horn and the trumpet, it was the part of the presence of God, along with the thunder and the lightning and the cloud and all of this. And on that day beforehand, the people were just supposed to go through this whole cleansing ceremony, and God warned Moses to tell the priests and the people to stay away because he was a holy God and they couldn't come that close to his presence. And even to come at the foot of the mountain, they had to go through the washing ceremony to remind them of the holiness that they needed to have. And so this sound of the trumpet that's recorded here, where it said on 16, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, reminded them of the holiness of God and their need to obey. And so if we look at even modern day versions of this, as I said, it's called Rosh Hashanah now, which has been blended with their celebration of the Civil New Year. Their whole synagogue liturgy reminds them of all of this. Matter of fact, they go through a huge thing, as we'll see, of reminding themselves, a process of kind of looking back at their own failures and looking at how they can move forward. Because this feast and the sound of that trumpet, the sound of the trumpet reminded them of Mount Sinai and God's holy presence and their need to obey those commands. And so this idea of a holy God and their need to obey is at the heart of what the Feast of Trumpets is. The shofar trumpets also reminded the Israelites of God's salvation. As I said, these trumpets play different roles. These trumpet sounds play different roles. And they have different things that they could do. But the first thing that they are reminded of how God saved them, is a ram's horn. That's literally what the shofar is. It is a ram's horn. And it reminded them of the substitute ram that God provided for Isaac. In Genesis 22, God tests Abraham to see if he's willing to obey him and do everything that he commanded. And so the test that he sets up is he willing to even lose his own son and sacrifice him? And Abraham and Isaac climb up the mountain, and Abraham has this faith that somehow God is going to provide for them, and he does. And the account in Genesis makes a big deal about that it is the horn of the ram that was caught in the thicket. And so this horn, this shofar, reminds them that God is the provider of the substitute, that he will provide for them the salvation that they desire. And so there is that aspect. There's also the aspect of just how it was played in the different places. At Sinai, God reminded them of how he delivered them from Egypt. If you would look at even in Judges, in the book of Judges, where Gideon, what does he do? He has a number of men that are outnumbered, 300, and God defeats the Midianites. And what is the signal that he's going to act? It's the blowing of the trumpet. It's the shofar and the breaking of the jars. All of these things, that sound that's there is a reminder when they heard it that God is a God of salvation and that he would bring them. And so when they would hear this, that is one of the images that would come to mind. But the trumpet was not just a sign of salvation, it was also a sign of God's judgment. In Joshua 6, it's part of a battle cry. And even the Midianites have a story of God's judgment against the Midianites and how they came at God's people. But those trumpets played the same kind of a role. God told them that he would give them the land and he would judge the people who were doing terrible things. And so he had the people walk around Jericho and march 7 days. And on that seventh day, when the trumpet sound blasted, the walls came tumbling down. So when they heard that sound, I'm losing my air support there. It was a sound of judgment, of salvation, and of God being a holy God. But there's one other thing that the shofar announced, and that is the crowning of a king. And that it comes from even 1 Kings verse 1 through 38, where it says, Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon, and then sounded the trumpet, and all the people shouted, Long live King Solomon. And so these are the four aspects that we see. It is the holiness of God. That's what the sound of the trumpet means. It is the salvation of God. It is the judgment of God. and it is the kingship of God. Those are the four themes that come out in the Feast of Trumpets. When the people hear that sound of a trumpet, these are the things that go through their mind as they recount the Old Testament stories. And so it's not surprising that the Festival of Trumpets has these different themes working in. Now, as I said, the Festival of Trumpets was assimilated into Rosh Hashanah, the celebration of the Jewish New Year. Most of the celebrations of the Feast of Trumpets were all about going to the temple, hearing that, doing these sacrifices. And so when the temple was destroyed, they modified things to make that happen. And the Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of their civil new year. It's the beginning of the day when they start the civil calendar, which is the seventh day of the or the seventh month, the first day of the seventh month. However, the celebration for Rosh Hashanah, and specifically the part that deals with the Feast of Trumpet, starts in the month of Elul, which is spent all before. As a matter of fact, there are some communities that blast the shofar every day in order to make the people remind them specifically of the judgment of God and the holiness of God. And they spend that whole month actually reflecting on the past year and making goals for improvement on the next one. It's a month of reflection is what it's known for. And then when the day comes, when Rosh Hashanah or in the Feast of Trumpets come, the families have a festival dinner together before attending an evening synagogue ceremony, which is the different tradition. But they also have a special morning one where they actually go through and do different prayers. Now, they also do this thing called a tshishlik, which started in the Middle Ages, but this idea of casting sins and trusting in the salvation of God, but also wrestling with his desire for obedience and his holiness and being honest about the judgment that can come when we aren't holy, all kind of came together. And so what they do is they take breadcrumbs usually and they go to a moving water and they throw the breadcrumbs as a sign of that. They're going to cast their sins on the Lord and trust that his grace is going to be sufficient for their salvation. This is the kind of imagery that they can have in this. Now, part of that ceremony itself actually also has a special prayer that's called the Mazur. And in that, there are different spots where they pray and they blow the trumpet. They pray and they blow the trumpet. They pray and they blow a trumpet. And there's three different special categories of prayers and readings that they have. The first one's called the Malkuhatut, which addresses the sovereignty and the kingship of God. This is what all of their readings reflect on. It reminds them of the kingship and the sovereignty of God. Then there's also called the Zikratna, which represent God as the one who remembers past deeds. And then there's the Shofarat, which focuses on God's future redemption. And after each prayer, that shofar is blessed. So this is what the Feast of the Trumpets is, both in the past and also the way that it is here today. But how does Jesus fulfill this? Oh, the other thing I forgot there, sorry, is they've also intertwined this into 10 days of awe. We have kind of the spring feast, which were Passover, unleavened bread, and the first fruits. There was Shavuot, or the Festival of Weeks, which was 50 days after that, or Pentecost. And then this one is the fall at the end of harvest. And there's going to be another kind of triplet of priests, a feast that come together in a couple of weeks here. The first one is the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah. Then there is Yom Kippur, and then there is the Feast of the Tabernacles, or Booth. And so there is a 10-day window here between the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Yom Kippur, and they call it the Days of Awe, or the Days of Repentance, where they consider their sins and want to repent before Yom Kippur, because they know it's about the obedience and the holiness of God. And so they spend this time taking it seriously, looking at this. And we'll see at Yom Kippur and the lesson that has for us next week. So how does Jesus fulfill the Feast of Trumpets? I mean, obviously, this is a biblical thing. And as I've said, we believe that the the feasts were set up as visual images and reminders that point to the work of Christ and the work of God in the New Testament in our own lives. And so how do we know? How does he fulfill it? Well, if you look at the image of the trumpet and you look at it in the New Testament, it's there again to acknowledge the presence of God. We're told in both 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians that the trumpet will resound when Jesus comes again. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 15, verse 50 through 52 says, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the perishable. But listen, I tell you in a mystery, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of the eye, at that last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And so what it says is that the trumpet will announce the coming king. It will announce the salvation and the judgment. And it will announce and it will show the whole world this idea of the obedience of and the holiness of God. And that will happen when Christ comes again. Thus, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17 says, For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Now, obviously, there's different views of end times, and I don't have time to get into all of them, but the point of the matter is this, that when Christ comes again, the trumpet will announce it. And we see that theme going here. And so this is how we see that Christ will fulfill the Feast of Trumpets. All those themes that we see in the Old Testament, the holiness of God, the obedience of God's people, the salvation of God, the judgment of God, and the kingship of God will come together in that moment. Because Christ will bring salvation to believers and judgment to unbelievers. That is absolutely clear. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, In the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, is what Paul says to Timothy. And in Matthew 25, verse 46, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, the last word that Jesus says is that they will go away to eternal punishment and the righteous to eternal life. And so what we see here is that at the end of our lives, or when Christ comes again, all will be judged. And based on whether or not we have faith in Christ or not, Christ will either bring salvation, if we have acknowledged our brokenness and submitted to the kingship of Jesus here on earth and put our hope and trust in him as our substitute for our salvation. And if not, there will be judgment for unbelievers. And so the sound of the trumpet teaches us that same thing. And the Feast of the Trumpet should remind us of that. The last thing we see is that Christ will reign over the new heavens and the new earth. I mean, not only is he going to come and bring salvation, not only is he going to bring judgment, but he's going to create the new heavens and the new earth, the final resting place of the Lord. And in there is the language of Jesus reigning over all. I mean, we see that throughout the New Testament, where it says that Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father and reigning. But here in Revelation 21, it says that he who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And this is after he talks about how the new Jerusalem will come down and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death. This is the final state of heaven where the sin has been eradicated. And evil and all unbelievers have been removed and put into hell. That this day will come and Christ will show his kingship over everything and believers will get to spend eternity with God. And so the Feast of Trumpets reminds us of that day. Matter of fact, that's one of the things that we'll see is that most of the feasts of the spring point backwards to the work of Christ. And the feasts of the fall point to the future work of Christ. And so that sound of the trumpet, when Christ comes again, all of these themes, the holiness of God, the obedience of people, the need for obedience of people, the salvation of God, the judgment of God, and the kingship come when the trumpets are sounded once again. So how does the Festival of Trumpets apply to us today? Well, first thing we need to do is we need to examine our lives, become aware of our sins, and believe in Jesus Christ. It really is that simple. The Bible is clear that you and I are all sinners in need of a Savior. Romans 3 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 1 John says that if we say we're without sin, we are fooling ourselves and deceit is inside of us. That's why 2 Corinthians 13 says that we need to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith or not. And we need to do that examination. We need to ask ourselves, is this a faith of my own? Going to church, your parents' faith, your grandparents' faith, all that doesn't matter. What matters is, have you acknowledged your sinfulness and put your hope and trust in Jesus? And so the sound of the trumpet, the feast of the trumpet, should remind us that Christ is coming again, and we need to put our hope and trust in him. That should be the first thing we should do. And all of us should do this. And it should be a continual process. It's not just an examination at that point where, well, am I truly saved? No, we believe. If God works in your heart, if he draws you to faith, he is the one who is faithful, and he will keep your faith going to the end of eternity. But that process of examination, admitting our brokenness, and turning and repenting to God is a process that we need to keep the rest of our days, so that pride and arrogance doesn't seep in. And so even if it says, like Paul says, that you are in the faith, and he assumes that they will, that he's writing there, this process of examination, this process of becoming aware of our sin and turning to Jesus over and over again is still vitally important. And so this is what the Feast of Trumpets should cause us to do. This is what it should do. But also, it should help us to see that we need to share the good news to others, even when it goes against our culture. Part of the imagery of a trumpet is that the sound is broadcast. And if you look throughout scriptures, these images that we are to be the heralds of the gospel, that we are to proclaim the good news. Jesus in the Great Commission says, go and make disciples of all nations. And even 2 Timothy 4, after he talks about, Paul talks about this, a need to examine, turns and says, after we've examined ourselves, after he talks about in the presence of God and Jesus about when Christ will appear and judge the living and the dead, is 2 Timothy 4:1. He turns it and says, if you have that faith and you know that this is going to happen, then go and preach the word. So if you know that God is going to come and to judge the living and the dead, Paul says to Timothy, then go and preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And so this is what we're called to do. You and I are called to be those trumpets that herald the gospel of Jesus with our lives, with our words. And we need to be prepared that this gospel message is not going to necessarily scratch every itch, and that people may not respond. As a matter of fact, there will probably be more rub points than we would care to admit if we preach the gospel the way that it needs to be preached. I mean, Paul says that to Timothy, for a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And so we need to ask ourselves that truth. Are we one, listening to the gospel that confronts us with our own sin, or are we allowing our ears to be itched by false teaching? And we need to be able to preach that gospel message to those, even though we know it may fall on deaf ears, but if the power of the Spirit doesn't work inside of them, then it will work, and we will see them come to faith because of the work of the Holy Spirit. But we need to do our part, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it goes against our culture, because this is the truth that we're called to. So this is the Feast of the Trumpets. The Feast of the Trumpets, that blast of the trumpet right here, reminds us that we worship a holy God, the creator of the universe, who expects perfection because sin can't come into the presence of a holy God. But he provided salvation for us, even though we deserve judgment. That he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. And on that cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because the punishment, the judgment that you and I deserve is called out to him. But we also remember that on that cross he cried out, it is finished, which means that the price has been totally paid for. And if we put our hope and trust in Jesus, then we can come to him, not based on what we've done, but rather on the basis of what Christ has done. And as we've seen, he not only died, but he rose again from the dead, which proved that he was the first fruits of his resurrection, was going to show that we all will be resurrected at some point. And when Christ comes again, he will bring that salvation and judgment because he is the ultimate king of the universe. And so if we have put our hope and trust in Jesus today, the sound of the trumpet should not cause fear. It should cause us to celebrate. And it should cause us to want to bring this gospel message to others. Let's pray.
You are listening to a sermon from Crossway Church in Battleground, Washington. You can learn more about our church online at crosswaychurchwa.com. We invite you to attend a worship service on Sundays at 10 a.m. at 311 North Parkway.